But if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Jesus even prayed that his followers would know God in his high priesthood prayer before he went to the cross. In John 17, verse 3, he said, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now, chew on that for a while. Jesus said to Abraham's descendants who had the law of Moses, who were trying to keep the law, he was talking to a group of men who spent their lives memorizing the law so they could quote it, and he said, "You don't know God. You know the book, you quote the book, you talk about the book, but you don't know the author." He said, "I do. And if I said I didn't, I'd be a liar just like you." Can you imagine the rage that came up inside these self-righteous, sanctimonious men? "How dare you say we don't know God?" And Jesus said, "You don't." You know what the proof was to Jesus? You don't keep his word. You read the word, you memorize the word, but you don't do it. James said, "Don't be deceived. It's not the hearers of the word of the Bible who are justified before God. It's those that do what it says." Moses, in this conversation with God, Moses is saying, "You know me. You say you know me." And he's not arguing that. Now, I've told you this before. This word "to know" in the Hebrew, it carries a deep implication. It doesn't mean I'm familiar with you. It means I'm intimate with you. I have an intimate knowledge of you. When it says Adam knew wife, knew Eve, and she conceived and bare a son, that's the same word. Moses says, "God, you know me intimately. I need to know you intimately." He doesn't say, "I'd like to know you." He doesn't say, "I wish I could know you, but we both know that's impossible, God, for yea, verily, I'm just a sinner. How can I know the holy God?" That's not what Moses says. He says, "I need to know you." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be filled." Not the casual inquirers. Not the ones who think they're righteous because they keep the rules. Moses had spent 40 days on the mountain. He received the law. He received the Ten Commandments. He had the rules. He wrote the rule book as God gave it to him. And Moses, standing in the presence of God, says, "That ain't enough." That's my vernacular. That's not in the Hebrew. Don't look that up. You won't find it in the Hebrew. It says he said, "That ain't enough." Moses said, "I need to know you. It doesn't do me any good to have this book and all these rules if you're not in it. All it is words. It won't work. God, don't leave me up to my opinion. I could be wrong." This man who had commanded armies, they knew there were 600,000 men of fighting age that were registered. God had him take the census of the 12 tribes, and he had an army of 600,000 men. That's men from 20 to 50. They estimate that, counting the older men, the younger men, the women, that there was probably 1.5 million or so. And God said, "Moses, guess what? You're the leader." And he said, "Moses, guess what? I'm mad at these people, so you lead them." And I love it. Moses goes, "If you ain't going with me, I ain't going." Now we think today, well, that's kind of presumptuous. This man who had commanded armies, I mean, he was general of the Egyptian army. When Moses said, do it, they did it. If he said, jump, they said, how high? And here he is. He's got the command. He knew all of his life God was going to use him to do this. And yet, it scares him to death when God says, but I ain't going with you. You just go. And Moses said, no, I'm not going. You know, God could have said, look, I gave you the law. I gave you the Ten Commandments. I gave you the rule book. You have the rules, Moses. Go. And Moses is going, mm-mm. These rules left up to our interpretation, we're going to get in more trouble than we're in now. Look where we're at now. We're supposed to be your people, and I come down and they're dancing naked to the golden calf. We've had to kill some of them. You killed some of them, and now you're mad. I'm not going any further with these people. I love one time Moses was talking to the nation of Israel, and he said, you know, you think God chose you because he just loves you better than anybody else? And he said, that's not true, because he said, you're a very rebellious people. And he reminded Israel, he said, if I didn't intercede for you, God was going to kill you. And he did. God told Moses, stand back, I'll wipe them out and make a nation out of you. They ready to be glad I wasn't Moses. God said, let me get out of the range. I mean, it solves all my problems. I don't have to deal with this bunch. I don't have to try leading. Yeah, God, you and me. Start all over again. But Moses didn't do that. He had the heart of a pastor. He said, oh God, don't do that. They're your people. Are you going to forget the promise you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And God said, no, I'm not going to forget it. Moses says, I got the book, but I don't have you. You know me, but I don't know you. I know about you. That's where a lot of Christians are today in the church. Am I saying this is your judge? No. 27 years of Christianity, I'm still learning. 12 years of ministry, I'm really still learning. But one thing I've seen in my 12 years of ministry, in a lot of the churches that I've been in, we think we got it figured out. It's all right. We got the Bible. We have our doctrine. We have our interpretation of what this word says. There's a passage in Revelation chapter 3 that we use for evangelism that has no place in evangelism. We try to use it to lure sinners in. Poor old Jesus is knocking at your door. Please let him in. Can't you see him shivering? Jesus was talking to a church. He said, you have pushed me out. And I'm knocking at your door. He said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and eat with you. That's an example of a church that says, we got it figured out, God. We got the book right here. Yeah, we read your book every day. We pray every day. We say, God, let our will be done. Let thy will line up with my will. Moses has the book. He has the rules, but he doesn't have God's presence, and he knows it. And he says, I'm not going one more step if you don't go with me. Do you know God respects that kind of praying? But how long do we pray till you get an answer? Jesus talked about the persistent widow to show us the kind of saints God likes. It's the ones that get on their knees and say, I'm not going to shut up till you answer me. Maybe in the church, we need to back up a little bit and begin to pray about outreach programs and say, we're not going to do anything until you tell us what you want done. Until you open the door. But when you open the door, God, we give you our word. We're going to go through it. And don't renege on him, because he doesn't take that too kindly. I love this. I was reading this. I've been reading this for the last week or two. And boy, it hit me. Moses didn't presume to know God's will. He was the leader, but he did not presume. And he said to God, in essence, I can't lead these people if you're not with me. I don't want to lead these people if you're not with me. He didn't presume to know God. A lot of us, we read the Bible and we think we know him. And the evidence that we don't is the lives that we live. Or when we say things like, well, I know the Bible says, but. Well, you might know what the Bible says, but you don't know the author. If you're going to say, but. The heart surrendered to Jesus Christ says, Lord, let your will be done. I know what your word says. Lord, give me the strength to do what your word says. I love that in the early church when they were threatening the church. And it said they beat Peter and John and sent them back to the church. And they went in there and said, well, guys, they said if we teach or preach anymore in Jesus' name, we're going to really get punished for it. And I said, the church lifted up their voices and said, God, do you hear their threats? Please take it away. Oh, God, give us divine protection. because we're your kids and we shouldn't have to suffer, God. That's not what they said. They said, do you hear their threats? They said, God, give us the boldness to preach your word. That's the heart of somebody who knows God. Give me the boldness to do what you've asked me to do in the face of all opposition. And if you think Brother Moses didn't have a lot of opposition in this crowd, you are wrong. There were people of it said, we've read the Bible, thank you very much, and we don't need you telling us what to do. Literally. A man named Korah came to Moses. He said, I'm a Levite. I'm a priest. I'm a covenant child of God. I don't need you telling me what to do. Moses said, well, let's ask God who's going to be the leader. Said Korah and his guys took these censers and put fire in it. The fire God told them to put in there, put incense. The incense God told the priest to put in there. Moses walked up with his censer. Fire come out from the altar and devoured Korah and his bunch. They said, then the earth opened up and swallowed all of Korah's family, his wife, his kids, his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, and all the men that were with Korah, and the earth went, bam! And if I'd been Moses, I'd have said, any more questions? But he didn't. He was a very humble man. Moses had a lot of opposition. Moses had a huge responsibility on his shoulders as a leader. Now, last Sunday, I kind of got down on leadership. Not got down, but I'm trying to encourage. Let me say this to you, leadership. If you're in a leadership position in this church, you better be praying like Brother Moses. I'm not doing anything to you. I have your presence, God. And I'm not going to lead if you don't lead. Now, let me give you a little hint, leaders, especially young leaders, new leaders. They cannot lead who will not follow. You cannot lead anyone if you're unwilling to follow. God won't use you. Exodus 33:13, Moses said, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people. God earlier said, you take your people out, Moses. They're not my people, they're your people. You ain't stringing me with that. Mm-mm. You hear the humility in this. He said, God, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways. That's not arrogance. That's not presumption. He says, I got to know you. And Moses, in essence, saying, you put me in charge of all these people. They're your people. Do you want somebody that doesn't know you leading your people? This is life and death. He said, I need to know you. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I know I said that just a minute ago. But that's so strongly impressed upon me lately. He's not talking about casual seekers. He says, you want righteousness as much as you want your food and water. Moses said, I want to continue to find favor with you. That's through obedience. Well, we don't like that word. He said, I need to know you so I can lead your people. You see, Moses didn't want to do anything outside of God's presence. In verse 15, then Moses said to him, to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. That's somebody that wants to know God, seriously, wants to know him. And he's saying, God, you're telling me to leave, but you're not going with me. I'm not going if you don't go. We'll just sit here. That's somebody that has a heart for God. That's someone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. All too often in the church, and I think we mean well, but we'll get stirred up about, you know, evangelism, about some types of ministry, and we run up and say, God, here's our plan, bless it. We need to stop doing that and say, God, what's the plan? Because, see, he's already working. I've been praying a very simple prayer. I'm not bragging on me, but I'm going to shake you up a little bit. I've been praying a very simple prayer for this church. God, give us Mansfield. Amen. I'm praying that. God, give us Mansfield. Give us the nasty, vile sinners, the meth heads, the drunks, the wife beaters, the child abusers. Bring them here. Now's a good time to transfer membership. Okay? Yeah. And I'm not saying that bragging on me. I feel very stirred by the Holy Spirit that that's how I should be praying. God, bring him here. You know what God is saying? I'm going to, but I want you to go out and get him. Don't sit and wait for him to come. Now I'm like Moses. I ain't going if you ain't going. I've been in some weird people's houses, Lord, and I need you there with me. I mean, I'm weird, but they're way out there. Moses asked specifically for God's presence because he knows God's purpose. And he doesn't presume that he'll do that purpose on his own power. He said, I need your presence. I know what you're asking me to do, but if you're not going to give me your presence, I don't want to do it. I can't. You cannot minister in your power. And I don't know how many times I've heard Christians say, well, Brother Rick, I'd like to serve the Lord, but I'm not that talented. He's not asking for your ability. He's asking for your availability. I remember telling my wife about 10 years ago, I was going to down by Branson to preach at a Nazarene church, and the pastor and I were attending Bible college together, and he said, these people don't like to lead the singing, so you have to lead the singing. I said, well, who's putting the music together? Well, they are. But I'll make sure they put music together. You know, I said, how do you know what I know? Oh, just trust me. And he said, you'll basically have to run the show from the pulpit because they're not too much into getting involved. I said, thank you. This better pay good. And I remember when we were driving down there, my wife was with me. I said, if you'd have told me 5 years ago, you're going to go to a church, a room full of people you personally do not know and have never met. You're going to lead the music service, the worship service. You're going to oversee all the other parts of the service and then get up and preach. I'd have laughed at you and said, not me. I don't like getting up in front of people. And I didn't. But I found when I answered the call into God's ministry, He started easing me into this and saying, I know this makes you nervous, but I'm not asking you to do this on your own. You do it with me. I like to hear a young preacher say, man, I'm a little bit scared about this message. Good. It's the ones that get up there and go, I got it all figured out. Me and God. Oh, Lord. I'd rather go home and watch Walt Disney and listen to you preach. Never lose that, preachers. Never lose sight of the fact that it's only by the grace of God that you preach His Word, that you put lessons together, that you do what He's asked you to do. Moses wanted those around him to know that God was pleased with them. We need to know in the church today that we know God and not presume to know Him. First John says in chapter 2, verse 3, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar. The truth isn't in him. I didn't say that. John did. I'm just repeating to you what I read. You know, we have that group in the church today that think, if I keep the rules, that makes me a Christian, if I keep the rules. The Pharisees kept the rules, and Jesus called them hypocrites. The Pharisees kept the rules, and Jesus said, you're like whitewashed graves. You look good on the outside. You keep the rules. But He said, inside, you're full of dead men's bones, and everything is unclean. You know the book, but you don't know the guy that wrote it. Something else I'm praying for in this church is for God's Spirit to fall on us afresh and anew and fill us. We're scared of that in the Christian church. Don't talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. What if we speak in tongues? What if? I don't believe that's the physical evidence of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's a changed life. It's a heart for Jesus Christ, and it's a passion for the lost. Because if the Spirit of Christ is really in you, you cannot help but feel that way. And if you have to pray and ask Him, God, give me a heart for the lost, you've got a hard heart. You need to say, God, melt my hard heart. Let me see as you see. I want to know you. I serve, my master is the kind who goes out and looks for the lost. My master said, I've come here because that's where my heart is. And he's called me to that. And he's called you to that. And we can't do it apart from his presence. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Wow. Well, I thought I got all the Holy Spirit when I was baptized. No. Because you see, he's also given as an as-need basis. I read that the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost. Then later on, John and Peter were filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they were before the Sanhedrin and said, and they were full of the Holy Spirit. That's how that works. God says, okay, now they need this right here and now. They need this power. They need this anointing. And the Holy Spirit fills you. Why else did Jesus say to his men, ask God for the Holy Spirit? Wait a minute, I thought that was part of our package deal. Our little salvation package you gave us after we were baptized said that we were guaranteed the Holy Spirit. Well, you are guaranteed the Holy Spirit. But sometimes you need a little punch, a little kick. Sometimes when you're facing things, you're saying, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. God says, I've been waiting to hear you say that. I'll tell you what needs to be done. It's not our programs that show that God's among us here at this church. I'm not against programs. It's not our worship music. I'm not against music. It's not the preaching or the teaching that goes on here. If the presence of God isn't in this church, then MCC stands for Mansfield Country Club. What do you want it to stand for? Mansfield Christian Christ-like Church. That's what I want it to mean. Join with me in prayer for God to pour His Spirit out among us. If you can't see the need for it, pray and repent first. And then join with me in prayer and say, God, pour Your Spirit out among us. Why don't you stand with me? I'll tell you, this is a beautiful story, a very encouraging story to me, that sometimes when we're at the end of our rope, that's exactly where God wants us to be. Brother Moses was a man with a very promising future. He had it all and he lost it, but look what he gained. 40 years before, he didn't know God. When he got to this point, God was able to reveal himself. Not because of Moses' plans, but because Moses was doing what God planned for Moses to do. What are we singing?
Just as I am without one sin.
Okay. Come back tonight at 6. We'll be in video 5 of Not a Fan.